With OS X being Unix at its core, and by use of the terminal, each and every Mac machine has a free way of sending files over FTP. No software needed whatsoever. One just has to open up terminal, do the FTP command, give your username, give your password, cd to the directory where you want to put your files on, enter binary, enter prompt, do an mput, see if your files are being uploaded to a bi, and boom, done. Easy. No? Welcome to the 10th episode of the Neat Little Mac Apps podcast, the podcast where I talk about my love for those cool little apps that are out there. This week's app? Transmit. As always, be sure to keep listening because we'll be giving away a serial number for this episode. Keep always in mind that this is an enhanced podcast, meaning that everything I talk about can be seen in the artwork window in iTunes or on your iPod screen, of course. Thanks also for the feedback to the show, and one of the positive feedbacks I got was that apparently the download issue has been solved. Yes, indeed. What I do now for this podcast is I upload my files to GoDaddy in a name I won't be using, and then I change it to the name I want to be using that file, and apparently that's it. So it's some weird caching problem. Who knows, but it is solved. Okay, now on to this review. The app of this week is Transmit. It is the most user-friendly, nice, GUI FTP app out there. Really, it is. The current version is 3.5.4. It's universal binary and it has been created by Panic. So at panic.com. I happen to know this application for quite some time now. I was still working on OS 9, but I didn't find it by wanting to find an FTP program. No, I found it by the audio program that the MP3 player that the company made. So panic.com had a really great audio player. I think it's called Audion. And the neat thing about that application was that it was totally customizable. You could make your own skins for the application, and there was a huge user community who did nothing else but post their skins so everyone could use them, and it was really, really a nice piece of software. And so when I needed an FTP program, I had two options at that time. There was Fetch, you know, the application with the little running dog. And then you had Transmit from panic.com. And I started using Transmit. I got hooked to it. I mean, it's really user-friendly. I'll tell you more about that. And I have been using the application ever since at my next work location, at the place where I work now. We are still using it, and it really is a great app. But let's do this review in neat, orderly fashion. First of all, the main window itself. Now, if you open up this application, you will see that you get one main window that has been divided in two pieces. You have the left side where you can see your stuff. You have the right side where you can see their stuff. That means, well, their stuff basically, you know. And they even call it that way in the application. That's what I like. One of the things I really like. Now, how does it work? Well, you can choose. You can fill in the FTP data manually in the program on the right side. For instance, you put in the FTP server name, you put in your username, your password, initial path, and the port, and you can select a protocol. And then you go connect. Okay, so the application will connect to the remote location, and then you can just drag and drop files from the left side to the right side of the main window. But that's not how I use it. I just take a file somewhere in the Finder window and I drop it on it, and it works also, of course. Next step, or next piece I'm gonna tell about this application, is the menu bar. Now, most of the things on the menu bar are quite obvious, so I'll run them by very quickly. You have the view buttons where you can select a list view or column view. You have an action button where you can get commonly used actions. You have the create new folder button. You have the refresh button that will refresh the file listing, of course. And you have the preview drawer. Now, the preview drawer allows you to see a quick preview of the file you have selected. For instance, if you select an image, on the remote location and you click the preview button, then a preview drawer will pop up from under the main window and you will be able to see a little preview of the file you have selected. Now that drawer pops up in the same way as your inbox drawer on the mail app pops out. That means on the place of the screen where it has the most place, there it will pop up. You also have a synchronize button, a mirror button, which means that the synchronization or mirroring of a certain location will happen when you click that button. And you have the sidebar drawer. Now the sidebar drawer is an extra drawer that allows you to quickly access common locations where you are a lot. For instance, it's a bit like the drawer in the Finder window on your left side. It's the same way, the same purpose. And then one nice feature that I want to discuss is that you can add, of course, things on that menu bar. And one of the things I added was the new tab. Apparently they added tabbed FTPing. That means you can have multiple views in different tabs. Works a bit, of course, like Safari. The next button is the disconnect from server or connect to server button, and the stop button, which stops transfer. And then you have, of course, a search window. Now, that was the main toolbar. The features I want to focus on right now is how you can make connections. The first way is by simply in the connect window, so on the right side also, just fill in the server info each time you want to connect to a server. Now, this can be a bit tedious. You have to fill in the server address, the username, the password, the initial path, the port number for the FTP connection, and the protocol. Now, protocols go from FTP to FTP with implicit SSL, FTP with TLS, SSL, SFTP, WebDAV, WebDAV, HTTPS. Quite a lot of protocols. Do I use them? No. Should you use them? Well, if you want to secure as FTP, well, probably yes. For instance, the FTP with SSL, I thought, really is a very secure transfer method. Okay, now, as I told you before, that's a bit tedious. Now, what they added in Transmit is the favorites button, and this will allow you to click on preset locations. For instance, you have the iDisk collection, and in the iDisk collection, you have my iDisk, other users iDisk, other users public folder, and that means that those, if you double click them, it will automatically click link or open up that specific location. You have Bonjour, as you know, you can enable Bonjour on your system in the sharing preference, and that means that if you have enabled that, that people with an FTP application can connect to your system over Bonjour. You of course also have the history collection, means that the latest visit, the last visited locations will be added to that history. So if you just go and double click it there, it will connect to that specific location. And you have the favorites collection, which is something I think it's added automatically. There you can just store favorite locations you frequently visit. Now, this is very handy. If you edit one of those favorites, you get some really, really neat features. One of them is, now you have to add, you have to edit one of your favorites to see this. One of this is the use doc send option. It's something you have to enable. It's not enabled by default. And I had to figure out, I had to read the explanation a couple of times before I really understood the whole process. So I'm going to run this by you once in a very simple explanation, actually, with an example. For instance, on your desktop, you have a folder called My Site. In that folder is your local site, your website, where you're working on. So if you, of course, have to often drag files from that location to an FTP location. Now, what you do is that you create a favorite from that remote FTP location. And in that favorite, you also define the remote path. Now, you also have the local path you can select. Now, if you select in that local path that specific folder on your desktop, each and any file you drag from that specific location on your own system to the transmit dock icon in your dock, will automatically upload to that favorite. So transmit recognizes, oh, that user dropped a file on me from that specific location. Okay, I know from which favorite that came from. I will upload the files as defined in that specific favorite. Very handy, I told you before. So that's the dock send option. Another really cool option here is the save as droplet. It's on the same window, so the window you get when you edit a favorite, and it is, so the save droplet allows you to save a droplet, a little icon, so to speak, on your desktop or on your system, wherever you want it, and each and any file you drop on that droplet will be uploaded to the location defined in this favorite. So this is something else than the doc send. This is really any file, no matter from where it origin is, you will drop it on the droplet and it will be uploaded immediately. If you check out the iTunes artwork window, you will see the icons. So if you just drop a file on there, transmit will start up, will upload the file, close itself again, and boom, your file is uploaded. Very cool, very handy, very neat. Yes, indeed. Now, there is one last option I wanted to talk to you, an upload option I want to talk to you about, and that is the transmit widget. So, okay, I think you all know how you install a widget. You just double-click it, and it will add it automatically to your widget library if you agree to it. And then what you do is you click that widget, and you can, on the back of the widget, you can configure it to a certain FTP server, username, password, and path. That's all you can add to that widget. How does it work? Okay, you select a file on your Finder, you hit the dashboard button, and you drop it on the widget for the specific location where you want to send a file to. And this is kind of cool. Automatically, because the logo of Transmit is like this little truck on the road, the little truck will start driving along the road for the time it has to upload a file. And in the background, of course, Transmit launches, uploads the file, quits again, and your file has been uploaded. So that's a neat way of uploading your stuff also. Next, I will discuss a bit the things you have or the possibilities you can do when connected. And one of the first things that I really liked in Transmit, even from the OS 9.1 version, is the queue. So in one of my previous jobs at night, I had to upload a lot of files to a specific server. And instead of showing one big progress bar, Transmit actually has a queue. If you drop 10 files on it, you will be able to ask the queue menu up, the queue window, and there you can see, okay, we're at that file. Okay, now that file is coming. Now this file is coming. So you have a queue. You can pause the upload for specific items. You can start them, of course. So the queue is really where you can change the order in which it has to upload while it's uploading. So very cool. That's the queue window. And you can edit in place. Now, edit in place is also something that you have as an action. For example, in the preferences of Transmit, you can select what the preferred editing application is. You can add multiple applications, but when you click edit in place as an action for a file on a remote destination, then it will open up, it will download in the background. You don't see this. It will download that file. It will open it up for you in your favorite editor. For example, what do I use a lot of times for HTML files? TextStrangler. It will open up TextStrangler. I would edit that HTML file, and when I hit save, Transmit will automatically upload that changed version, that changed file, to its original destination on the remote server. So this is kind of cool. If you want to do small changes to text files or to HTML files, you just open them with Transmit in your favorite editor, you change them, save them, and it will upload again. So everything is mirrored on your FTP location. Now, since we're at the preferences, I'll run them by you also. Now let's head to that preference window. And I'll start with the general preferences, where you can, of course, select your default FTP client, your default favorite also. And you can also choose if it has to start the connection with that default favorite automatically at startup or not. You can choose if it has to show those favorites, such as the iDisk, Bonjour, or other favorites. And you can make sure that it does or does not always show the tab bar, and whether it has to select new tabs as they are created. You can also choose what Transmit has to do when you double click a file. You can choose if it has to do nothing, transfer that file to your place or the other remote location. You can edit or edit in external editor. You can select a file editor font, and you can select check for Transmit updates automatically. Now, this is a feature that mainly all the NLMAs have, that automatic update feature. Next item in the preferences is the files item, where you can select custom file editors based on extension. For instance, if you want TXT files automatically to be edited with Text Wrangler, you can add that. Or if you want them to be edited with Text Edit, you just make sure that it says Text Edit next to the extension. HTML files, for example, for me, always will open up with Text Wrangler. You have also the file listings settings, where you can use spring-loaded folders, show the exact file size in bytes, use generic icons, and ask before deleting items. Some other things you can choose there are the ASCII file extensions, and I have no idea what that is. I won't even go into it because I really don't have any idea what that specifically is. Then you have default your stuff. That means that is the default folder it will open up when you open up the main window on the left side, your stuff. It will be that specific folder. So you can choose another folder if you like. And you have the batch download location. That will mean that if you download in batch mode, it will download to that specific location. Transfers. Well, in the transfer window, you can select, in the transfers settings window, you can select what Transmit has to do when an item already exists, while downloading folders, while uploading, or while uploading folders. And the options are, ask me what to do, replace the existing folder, merge the existing folder, or skip the folder. That's for uploading folders. For files, for instance, you have replaced the existing file, try to resume the transfer, skip the file, you know, the general drift. Now, what you also can select here is if Transmit has to open up queues or not for all transfers, and also what the maximum queue connections may be. You can also select here if Transmit has to open up the files after downloading. I wouldn't put that on. Next is the Fetch Cursor Compatibility Mode. Now, as I have found on the internet, this would mean that your cursor would look like the Fetch Cursor with the running dog. Strangely enough, I didn't get it to work here on my system. Well, never mind. You have also the Set Permissions or on Upload, where you can edit what extension should get what type of permission. For instance, the CGI extension, files with a CGI extension would get other permissions than files with an, let's say, HTML extension or something like that. Not that I really use this, but it looks handy in some specific situations. The last panel is where you select your network settings. For instance, you can select whether Transmit has to use the passive mode or not to get by firewalls and stuff like that. Or you can change the busy server retry time So the number of seconds transmit has to wait until it tries to recontact with the server when it's busy, and the proxy settings. And that concludes this review. So I go on to the developer tips for this application, and that is, make sure you don't bloat this program. It has gotten a lot of new features, I've noticed. The features that are in there are really handy. They are very cool. They are still quite easy to use, but be sure you don't turn this into some humongous, great, big FTP program. It does what it's supposed to do. It has some cool features. I like them, but be sure don't overdo it. Very cool app. Thanks for the all the development you put in it, and I'm sure that we're going to keep using this at work, of course. Now, to win a license for this great application, you don't have to send an email. Nope, we're going to do something different now. You might have noticed that I've been featured on the iTunes Music Store under New and Notable, that is for the technology section. Now, if you go into iTunes and you go to the podcast, this podcast, in your podcast directory, you will notice that on the right side of the name of this podcast, there's this little arrow. If you click on that arrow, you will be directed to my podcast page on the iTunes Music Store. Now, there you can enter a review of the podcast. As a listener, you can make your own review, telling the people what you think of that podcast, and you can quote it, you can give it a number of stars. The first one who writes a review on that page mails me, tells me what, I don't know if the email is known, so I don't will be able to see that email. So you just send a mail to contest@neatlittlemacapps.com telling me, look, I made this review. If you want to, you can paste in the text that you reviewed at that time. I think it's quite easy to verify the person who did this. Now, the very first person who reviewed my podcast on the iTunes Music Store gets this serial number. Now, I'm going to add one thing to this. Make it a fair review. I'm going to take my chances, write a fair review, tell me what you like about the podcast, but if you don't really like certain things, you can put it in that review also. The numbers of stars, you put in there what you think, what you believe is reasonable for a podcast like this. So no obligations, even if it's a very negative review, you will still get the serial number. Won't be as happy though, but hey, you do what you think is best. Thanks. Okay, now on to the winners of the last episodes, and those are the winners who will getting a serial number for Burn Again and or SyncUp X. And let's start with the Burn Again licenses. The first license goes to Tommy Booth, and he says that he likes the Neat Little Mac Apps podcast because it introduces him to clever, usable applications, and apparently he already bought two applications I reviewed on the show. Way to go, Tommy. Second license goes to Eric Montgomery, and he really enjoys the podcast, although it certainly doesn't help his addiction to Mac freeware and shareware. It would be nice if he would win a license so that he doesn't go broke from all the purchases he does while listening to the podcast. So that's one serial number you won't have to buy there, Eric. And the third winner for a Burnigan license is Alexander Deich. And he has quite a lot of reasons why he likes the podcast. The first one is because it's very thorough. The second one is because it is very informative. He apparently likes the way I go in depth on certain small features. I tend to do that, don't I? And his third reason is because he just likes how helpful it is. So on more than one occasion, apparently, I directed him to an application that he really fell in love with. That's a bit the main existence of this podcast, the main reasons for me doing this there, Alexander. So hope you like the serial numbers. Now, the SyncUp X serial numbers go to Nathan Garvey, and he likes the podcast because he likes the original things I do with the distribution, meaning I sometimes put in a PDF in the RSS feed. He apparently likes the way the enhanced podcasting works. A second reason is he likes the in-depth review. And a third reason is he likes the accent. Okay. Peter Seberg is also a winner for a SyncUp X license, and he likes the podcast because he enjoys the fact that the podcast allows publicity for those smaller developers, and he also considers the podcast to be a time saver, so he doesn't have to go chasing down random maps from the internet. The third winner is Fred Dixon, and he likes the podcast because he really likes the reviews and because of the neat accent. And apparently they weren't the only people talking about the accent. Okay, let's come clear here, people. There is no accent. I talk perfectly English. There is no accent whatsoever. I am not a Belgian. Okay, so perhaps there's just little tiny bit of an accent, but not much. Okay, let's be clear on that. Good. Well, that concludes this quite long episode of the Neat Little Mac Apps podcast. As always, feel free to hop in at the website at www.neatlittlemacapps.com. You will find show notes there as well as a feedback form, or you could just mail me at feedback@neatlittlemacapps.com. For the developers out there or people who have found an application that they think is truly special and they would like to have seen it on this podcast, you can also mail me at feedback@neatlittlemacapps.com. For people who would like to promote this show, there is always the Neat Little Mac Apps web shop where you can buy t-shirts and stuff. And I don't remember if I mentioned it in the last episode, but I have added a cap. A cap with the Neat Little Mac Apps logo. So head over there, buy something and strut your stuff. If there are developers out there or companies who want to sponsor an episode of the Neat Little Mac Apps podcast, head over to the site or just click the link in the artwork window of iTunes, and that will direct you to the site where you can download a press kit. And I have some sponsor packages in there, so you can check it out and see if you like perhaps sponsoring the show. Very cheap and certainly worth it. For all the other huge money makers out there, the Nikon D80. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that just leaves me with crediting the music of the podcast, the theme music, and as always, that is provided by the British band Dark Horse. Track name is Starting Over, it's the instrumental version, and as always, you can find out more about them at music.podshow.com. Talk to you later and keep loving those apps. Bye.